Today's audio-only presentation of Pro Wrestling Cast has been brought to you by MagicalJourneysVacations.com. When you're getting ready to take the family to a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Studios Orlando, any cruise line whatsoever, or even Adventures by Disney, be sure to check out MagicalJourneysVacations.com. Cut through all the rigmarole and have a stress-free vacation and save money as well. Check out MagicalJourneysVacations.com and get your free price quote today. Also, Amazon. Check out ProWrestlingCast.com and click our link to Amazon, and there you can support our show. Every single purchase you do as you click on our Amazon banner at ProWrestlingCast.com, Amazon gives us a little bit of commission off of everything you buy. It doesn't cost you any more. It just simply means you care enough about our program to support us. So check out all of our shopping links, including Amazon and much, much more at ProWrestlingCast.com.
Tonight, the spirit of America lives here in Houston, Texas. On behalf of everyone here in the arena and a worldwide television audience, we would like to extend our condolences to the victims and the families and friends of the victims of the terrorist acts that occurred on Tuesday in New York City and Washington, D.C. Our nation's leaders have encouraged us to return to living our lives the way we normally do. Our nation's leaders have encouraged us to continue to live our lives the American way. They've encouraged us to practice and exercise our constitutional rights. And as such, tonight I believe this is the first public assembly of its size since the tragedy of Tuesday. Make no mistake about what and make no mistake about the message this public assembly is sending to terrorism tonight. And that message, quite simply, is that we will not live our lives in fear. The citizens of Houston are not afraid. The citizens of Texas are indeed not afraid. And by God, the citizens of the United States are not afraid. For we are a proud people, proud of who we are, proud of our nation, and damn proud to be Americans. Fight. We will fight for our families. We will fight for our rights. And we will fight for our great nation. America's heart has been wounded. But her spirit shines as a beacon of freedom that never has been nor ever will be extinguished. The World Wrestling Federation would like to thank each and every one of you here in the Compaq Center tonight. The World Wrestling Federation would like to thank each and every one of you watching on television. We would like to thank you for the honor and privilege of performing before you here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the singing of our national anthem.
Welcome to the show, one and all. It is Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly and sometimes bi-weekly show for all things regarding news from the world of professional wrestling, including commentary. I'm your host, Mr. Aljon Go, longtime wrestling fan, professional broadcaster, and typically joined by my friend Stephen Anthony. I actually have his comments we pre-recorded before this program today, tonight, I should say. As we get ready for the pre-show, this is the pre-show to Backlash, WWE's reinstatement of the Backlash pay-per-view of event on the WWE Network. Coincidentally, you can subscribe to it there at ProWrestlingCast.com using our links. We've got some great news to talk about this week, including our picks for WWE Backlash. But first, this week in wrestling news. Before we get started, we were going to start the show off with CM Punk versus Mickey Gall. However, we do have this breaking news. Randy Orton is out of WWE Backlash. PW Insider reported that Randy Orton will not wrestle Bray Wyatt at Backlash. At this time, there's no word on how WWE will handle the missing event. Orton is currently backstage, yet he was not cleared to wrestle because of lingering effects from the TKO finish of the Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam match. WWE hoped he would be cleared this week, but things did not go according according to plan. To make matters worse, there's a change to the Orton-Lesnar rematch for September 4th house show in Chicago that may not happen either. So, of course, we will keep you apprised of the situation as it unfolds, and who knows what happens there. Of course, that's going to be changing the entire card for tonight's event. Let's talk about this. CM Punk versus Mickey Gall at UFC 203. And CM Punk, well, it wasn't quite a great debut for him as Gall won the fight by submission in the first round. The video highlights have been released by Fox News. You can please check that out. Also, UFC released the stats for the fight. CM Punk scored 0 takedowns, 0 knockdowns, or submission attempts. He landed 6 strikes, although none of them were declared significant strikes. On the other hand, Gall landed 26 total strikes and 20 significant strikes, and he scored 1 full takedown and 2 submission attempts. So, wow, that was pretty much getting your ass handed to you, Mr. CM Punk. But CM Punk will not let that slow him down. He says he will be back to fight again in the UFC. For more comment on this, here is Stephen Anthony.
I just wanted to say on a personal note, aside from the what looks to be lackluster Backlash pay-per-view coming up, the first SmackDown-only pay-per-view of the post-apocalyptic, post-9/11 new era of Raw and SmackDown in the Belch Red era, I just wanted to say on a personal note that CM Punk went against Mickey Gall. It just happened. I'm recording this Saturday night. He tapped out in 2 minutes and 14 seconds. He just looked completely and utterly... He just didn't look like an MMA fighter. Sometimes people have to realize who they are. Sometimes a man's got to know his limitations. Maybe Al John will be nice enough to put up Carl Lewis singing the national anthem. I don't know if anyone's ever heard that as often as I have. I've listened to it several thousand times. The greatest track star in the world, Carl Lewis, singing the national anthem at a Chicago Bulls game is the absolute worst thing you've ever heard. Because Carl thought he could do anything. He did the 9.79, you know, record-breaking... Oh, wait, that was Ben Johnson. He did the record... He broke so many records, he won so many racing events, and he went to sing the national anthem because his ego told him that he was such an incredible star and so incredibly talented he could do it. CM Punk did the same thing. He goes in there, I'm an incredible fighter, the people love me, I'm a shooter, I know how to stretch people, I'm Lou Thesz. It didn't happen. He didn't even look like an MMA fighter because he's not an MMA fighter. No offense to Mickey Gall, he's had, I believe, 2 fights. He did pretty good in the second one. Now he's slaughtered CM Punk, strangled him into a tap out. You know, this is such an embarrassment that this idiot decided to go out there and embarrass himself like a fool. This is nothing but a rich guy who got to do what he wanted because he had the name recognition and the money to make it happen. And he said after the fight he's going to do another fight. Well, you better go fight for Strikeforce, you know, because this is absolutely ridiculous and you deserve what you got. And bravo to Mickey Gall for taking advantage of a situation.
This past Friday, WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio, also known by his real name, Jose Rodriguez, has been let go during his 30-day wellness policy violation. He is now on the Futured Endeavored list. And as of his release, September 9th, Alberto Del Rio did discuss his release on Twitter, saying, quote, his business relationship with WWE has come to an end in good terms. Alberto is already accepting independent bookings. Attorneys for Buff Bagwell filed an amended class lawsuit against the WWE, adding former WWE, WCW, and ECW wrestler Raven, aka Scott Levy, to the lawsuit as plaintiff. Bagwell and Levy, individually on behalf of all other similarly situated, allege that they have not received contractually owed royalty payments from the WWE for WCW-related content and has been sold or licensed through the WWE network. Bagwell and Levy also allege that non-payment of all categories of royalties within 90 days following the end of the fiscal quarter. In total, the plaintiffs allege that total claims of the class action lawsuit are in excess of $5.0 million in the aggregate. Also, the total number of wrestlers in the proposed class act lawsuit is greater than 100. Specific to Levy, the amended complaint noted that the WWE paid Levy a royalty for DVD sales of Paul Heyman's recent home video release, but not a royalty for airing the same product on the WWE network. Scotty Too Hotty joins the WWE Performance Center as coach. The Performance Center coaching staff has added former champion to the team. Attitude Era favorite Scotty Tuhati, a.k.a. Scott Garland, began coaching NXT recruits full-time this week in Orlando. Former WWE Tag Team and Light Heavyweight Champion Garland visited the Performance Center as a guest coach in June and has competed in WWE and NXT as recently as 2014. Famous for his outstretched hair and crowd-pleasing worm taunt, Garland became one of the most popular superstars of the Attitude Era, teaming up regularly with Too Cool and his partner Grandmaster Sexay and Hall of Famer Rikishi. He joins another former teammate at the Performance Center in the form of head coach Matt Bloom, aka Prince Albert, the Hip Hop Hippo. They competed together in 2001 and 2002. Before we head into Backlash and our pick, Steven and myself, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in WWE programming for this week. What's on my mind? I hate to sound like Jim Ross, but it's true. So we had a semi-tease of a retirement angle for Sasha Banks, where, of course, she did not retire. She simply tried putting a little bit of some drama into her speech, talking about the women's revolution in the form of wrestling, and mentioned once again the Divas belt and now coming full circle into where women are very, very highly respected. But yet she went again and got interrupted by Dana Brooke and completely called her Miss Piggy, which I understand is kind of the mean nickname she has behind the scenes. And I just hate that. As many steps forward as WWE is doing, I'm not a big fan of teasing retirement angles. The more you do it, the more it makes and devalues the retirement when it actually does occur on behalf of something like Edge or on something like Daniel Bryan. Now, I was kind of a fan of what they did with John Cena and Mark Henry a few years back. However, I do believe that it's unfair to fans to talk about retirement or to even hint about retirement. And it's just not a very good thing. I think it really devalues what happens when it really does happen in the ring for a very serious reason. I'm glad Sasha Banks is back, though. Overall, I thought SmackDown and Raw were decent shows altogether, and I didn't think, I'm not as sour on them and the buildup for Backlash per se, especially SmackDown, but we shall see what happens tonight during the pay-per-view event. I think we have a lot of talented superstars, and I'm hoping that the creative staff and the superstars step up to tell a very intriguing story, to say the least. I think the wrestling has been very good. The Raw match between Sami Zayn was great, along with Kevin Owens. I was not necessarily a big fan of what's going on with New Day. I believe their shtick is kind of getting old and stale. Okay, yeah, if the shoe fits, Old Day, wear it. I think also putting Gallows and Anderson in a place where they can show a little bit of personality is a good thing. I don't necessarily think that this is the way that you do it, not for these particular characters. I oftentimes wonder how much time and how much creative go back and forth with superstars to develop something that is better suited for their character, or if this is just a matter of Vince McMahon and the creative staff coming up with something for them that they believe would suit them. And in my opinion, I think especially with all the recent interviews that have been aired as of late from WWE former creative staff members, Vince is really out of touch. And if he believes that the only type of entertainment worth watching is WWE type of entertainment, he's grossly mistaken. And if you look all the way back to the different eras of professional wrestling, where professional wrestling took a lot from pop culture to develop characters, to develop storylines, to take those elements that are really hot and popular as a reflection of pop culture, Vince would be really needs to re-examine things, and his writing staff need to really push and look at things that are happening and look at what's going on with the current taste of today's consumption of media and drama and that form of entertainment and films and pop culture in general. So living in the WWE bubble, this is a huge problem for the Federation moving forward. I hope they're able to do something and bring more life and relevance to the WWE product. Even in this PG era, I think it's possible. One thing that you can look at that is interesting to see develop, would be TNA Impact. Billy Corgan, interesting show. We had the K versus Delete, Final Deletion 2, which some people are saying it's a little bit too soon for that, but I think they they are striking while the iron is hot. With that particular angle, I thought it was well done. Definitely something different. I wish that the TNA cameras would decide what style they want to shoot in, and shoot in the proper aspect ratio. For some reason, their letterbox format makes everything look distorted. Let's fix the aspect ratio. Let's fix the HD presentation. And let's make sure that if we're going to be filming these vignettes, that it looks like film, and that even the ring action is just as good looking as the vignettes, or vice versa. It doesn't matter. I just want it to have some really nice cohesion production elements. So we have these different production elements. You have the in-ring action, which has this one style. You've got these vignettes that the Hardys are shooting with Jeremy Borash, a completely different style. Let's bring those together. Now, we also had recently the debut of the Grand Champion of Impact Wrestling, the new title. It seems to me like this is the month of new titles. This year will probably go down as being the year for new titles being debuted. That said, we have the competitors moving forward for in a championship for this new Impact Wrestling title. What happens to the TNA title? I believe chances are, if Billy Corgan has anything to do with it, come Bound for Glory, they may actually have a new looking TNA belt. At least that's what I hope so. If everything's going to move toward Impact Wrestling, which they should have done a long time ago, ditch a TNA name. They need a new looking title for everything, so they can start from scratch and they can continue with a legacy instead of what the WWE did, which was manufacture a belt from scratch and try to position it ahead of their own current WWE title, which I'm not a big fan of. I just don't understand what's going on there. The company does not have a clear, definitive champion in WWE. At least Impact will. They are making some changes. This tournament in which they're doing three-minute rounds where you can win by pinfall or submission or by the judge's call, which is very UFC. I am intrigued by it. I did see it. Saw the matches, the preliminary matches leading into the Bound for Glory pay-per-view, and I think it's going to be good. Did I say Bound for Glory? I think that's what I said. Okay, so TNA, Steven and I both say, give it a watch. Take a look at it and see for yourself. I do believe it's worth checking out. In fact, we're going to have some scenes, or I guess some audio clips, as part of our promo of the week for this particular show coming to you from Impact and the Hardys, the Broken Hardys. Prepare the battlefield for deletion and pet fighting, apparently. That's a great way, I guess, that the Hardys train is through the use of kangaroos. So, at any rate, now it's on to our WWE Backlash picks.
Let's rip and tear through the undercard of the Backlash pay-per-view a little here. We have the six-woman match, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Becky Lynch, Naomi, Natalia, and Nikki Bella. In the women's scramble fire death match for the, if only it was that, six-woman match, tornado match, whatever it's supposed to be called. I'm going to go with Carmella here. I'm feeling really strong that they want to give a strong push to Carmella from some of the things I've seen. They had this sort of weird, ill-fated heel turn or whatever it was supposed to be on Nikki Bella. But Carmella's looked okay, and I think they feel they have to go with fresh blood, which actually has been a good deal with SmackDown lately. Miz has been fresh blood, has been good, and you know, Heath Slater, like we were saying. So maybe the lightning will strike a third time now with Carmella. You know, I think obviously Becky Lynch was always slated to be the SmackDown champion, and you know, having two women's champions does dilute the stream quite a bit, but you do have Bayley, Charlotte, and Sasha on the other show, so I think it'd be okay to have Carmella win the title and, you know, possibly feud with you know, Becky Lynch down the line. I don't really see where Nikki Bella's going to go with this. If Nikki Bella wins the SmackDown title, I just don't know what to say. I'm not surprised Nikki Bella's back. It makes sense, but you know, where does she fit in now with this whole new kind of ideology of everything? Obviously Naomi fits in, even though she has those stupid double kicks, which I hate, makes me turn off the TV. Obviously Natalia fits in with her great match work. Carmella, like I said, they're trying to give some gum, you know, some bit of a push to, and Alexa Bliss is sort of like that too. And obviously Becky Lynch is a great wrestler, so I don't see how Nikki fits into that mold at all. That being said, you could see her win it, you know, but I really think Carmella is the strong choice. I do think Carmella is who they're going to go with. Randy Orton against Bray Wyatt. Now, this is an interesting matchup. You know, I guess Bray Wyatt's just a jobber. You know, you got to give Randy Orton a win here. He just did. Randy Orton is going to win this match clean. Randy Orton got elbowed in the head. He went to the the building that day, and at 2 o'clock when he freaking drove up in a rental car, they said, he's going to elbow you in the head, and that's how the match is going to end. And Randy Orton's accompany God, and he went with it. So God bless him for it. But that's kind of what's going to happen. You know, I think this match will probably be second to last on the card, or maybe you open with it. I don't really know what you do, but I do see Randy getting a big babyface win, and I just see Bray Wyatt. They just treat him like a jobber. They just don't know how to book him. They can't get it right. I don't think it's a lack of faith. I just think that every time they get caught in a rut, they just have him job for somebody. They do this over and over again. Look at it. It's completely stupid and obnoxious. The Miz and Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship. Smart money has Dolph Ziggler winning the belt from The Miz. I don't know. I guess that would be payback for having a job to Ambrose. But, you know, I think that's a mistake. The Miz finally has some heat, and you're going to have him lose to the babyface? Are you kidding me? That's typical dumb SmackDown booking. So let's hope they come to their senses, and when they get to the building, they change it, and The Miz goes over on Ziggler. Ziggler is a fine wrestler, but, you know, they've made some weird options here. If you're going to put Wyatt and Ziggler on SmackDown, you have to give them wins. They can't lose to Randy Orton and The Miz and all these guys. You know, this is just illogical booking. It's not a big enough roster. I've said it a couple of times now. You can tell when they have them come in a ring. It's not a big enough roster. Ziggler should be more protected if he's in this position. You know, Miz and Ziggler and Wyatt are the 4, 5, and 6 positions. There is no Cena. You know, Orton is around. AJ's around. And now Dean Ambrose all of a sudden sucks out of the blue. So you have to have kept Ziggler and Miz protected, but you can't do that. So perhaps it's a DQ match. I don't know. Looking at the entire card, they better have a 5-star Dean Ambrose AJ Styles match because it looks kind of weak.
All right, here I am with my picks for Backlash for tonight. Let's see if we get any of them right. Let's talk about the undercard and Ziggler versus Miz. Well, with Randy Orton being out of commission, that really puts an interesting spin on what could happen in the undercard because we're going to need somewhere for the championship to go. And should the championship go with AJ Styles, looks like we may need a babyface. So who will that babyface be? You know, maybe it could have been a Randy Orton or Dolph Ziggler, and even possibly The Miz, even though they're playing him like a really bad heel at this time. I don't know if Miz is going to keep his title. So they may be, you know, prepping him to go into the main event. I think his work as of late has maybe impressed the front office. So maybe Ziggler will win this title, being the Intercontinental Championship title, and especially for all the jobs he's been doing recently, and elevate Miz to somewhat of the main event. Now, if he is going to be pushed, continually pushed as a heel, I'm not sure if AJ Styles Ambrose, if he's going to be fed in that direction, but we shall see. My guess is that even though I want to say that Miz is going to retain the championship, I think that Dolph Ziggler may end up winning the championship. Now, the Women's Six-Pack Challenge. So, just by the looks of how they're positioning things online, it may be Nikki Bella, the returning Nikki Bella, who may be the brand new SmackDown Women's Champion. I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to go with Becky Lynch, or even Carmella for that matter, but I do believe that they may want to try to start Becky Lynch and see where that goes in this women's revolution. If they're really wanting a revolution, they're going to have a fresh champion, someone that's never been championed before that represents a new breed of WWE women, and that would be Becky Lynch. So my pick is for Becky.
Let's talk about the Hype Bros versus the Usos in the last chance match. The last chance. It's their last chance at winning the tag team titles. Well, you know how WWE logic works. That means the Usos are going to walk out of there as the new heel tag team champions. I do like the idea that they realized that Heath Slater and Rhino had so much babyface heat that the direction they were going with American Alpha going over would actually have hurt American Alpha's heat. Now, if you would have told me 2 months ago Heath Slater would hurt American Alpha's heat on SmackDown winning the tag titles, I would just be perplexed. But we've been talking about him for a week or two, and Heath Slater has been putting on a tremendous performance as of late with his character. He's hit that, you know, 5, 6, 7 year mark a lot of wrestlers hit where they get really good and hit their stride. And that's where he's at right now. I don't know if that's exactly how long he's been wrestling, but he's hitting that stride where a wrestler really feels comfortable, knows who his personality is, knows, you know, how to play the role. So that led to the Hype Bros and the Usos in the Last Chance match, I think, because the Usos had to turn heel in order to win the tag team belts. That's why the Usos did a pretty short job on SmackDown to American Alpha. So I do expect the Usos to go over the Hype Bros here. The Hype Bros are so completely obnoxiously stupid and annoying that it actually is starting to really wear on me. It's starting to work. I don't know how else to put it other than to say that you need tag teams like that sometimes. A guy like Mojo Rawley, the crowd doesn't really like. The crowd sort of likes but hates. Some of them despise him. His little party boy in his late 30s, whatever it is, attitude, kind of wacky guy, you know, football player vibe, the whole thing with Zack Ryder, the former internet favorite. It just works. And having them as a catalyst to lose to the Usos, who look like they're finally going to get a good, decent-sized push as heel tag champions, as a catalyst, therefore, for American Alpha. Obviously, the American Alpha injury is a gimmick. So, you know, of all the booking they've done, it really staggered me. Like, God, you're going to not have American Alpha at the first stupid SmackDown-only pay-per-view, but they booked themselves in the corner by booking Heath Slater, not even booking Heath Slater too well, just by having Heath Slater be put in good positions to have outstanding performances on his own. So kudos to Heath Slater, who will most likely take the pinfall loss to the Usos.
I think an intriguing match that's going to take place, or matches that's going to be taking place on this card, is going to be the Usos or Hype Bros versus Slater and Rhino for the SmackDown Championship. And we had seen that in the past week's episode of SmackDown Live that the Usos were taking American Alpha out. So the Usos will move on, but they will take on the Hype Bros to find out who will take on Rhino and Slater for the championship match. Interesting. The brackets, I think, were kind of screwed up from the very get-go, and them trying to protect American Alpha was interesting. I don't know why it was set up the way it was set up. It could have been a lot cleaner, in my opinion, and I really have no reason or good reason why they even set it up this way to begin with. But I believe that Rhino and Slater, with all the work they're doing lately, may be a really good team to kind of kick things off, perhaps, since American Alpha is obviously out. But I believe that the logic would go to the Usos being the heels going up against American Alpha, the faces. So my money would be on the Usos, perhaps winning that championship in the way the storyline is set up. Or, you know, who knows? Those two may go off on their own, and it could very well be Hype Bros versus Rhino and Slater, with the tag champions going to you know, the Hype Bros. It very well could be. Very, very well could be. But where do you go from there if the Hype Bros are the champions? I think you have your options are a little bit more open, maybe, with Rhino and Slater. But what do I know? I don't know.
What does the word retrogress truly mean, Nick Bockwinkle? I had to look up the word, or the words, obdurant recalcitrance. But retrogress, I was a little puzzled by, but Nick explained it well enough in his promo. But to actually see someone retrogress in real life, to have someone have a passion play of sorts to explain the definition, the term retrogress, is something that Dean Ambrose has been putting into practice lately. This first SmackDown-only pay-per-view backlash seems to be a coronation of sorts for AJ Styles, and Dean Ambrose, lo and behold, hands him that title, figuratively, on a silver platter with his awful, awful stuff lately. He has just been a terrible champion. I don't know what the hell happened. I did notice these problems started around, the Stone Cold podcast? Yeah, that was it. Stone Cold Steve Austin literally, figuratively, symbolically, if you will, stomping a mud hole in Dean Ambrose's ass as he forces Dean to cut a silly indie promo as he glares at him, almost as if to say, you are no champion. I have just proved it. Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles. The betting line is heavily in favor of AJ Styles. I think AJ Styles was always supposed to have this coronation, to be to be a heel champion for the SmackDown brand to carry it. He got the clean pinfall win over Cena. His only pinfall loss to Cena was in a six-man match. He technically has two pay-per-view victories over Cena in singles matches, with the only loss, like I said, in the six-man. So, hey, that's about as crystal clear cut as you can get over Mr. Cena, who is a historically savvy politician, but in this case, wisely put over AJ, and he was put over so he could win the SmackDown title. I have no idea what is wrong with Dean Ambrose. If I had to guess, I would say that Dean was supposed to go no further than he got in the Shield, or that he got late last year, the high mid-carder, best buddies with the babyface Roman Reigns, who can't quite get the title, but then he did get the title because someone took some Adderall, allegedly, and that's really the reason all of this happened anyway. So what we're going to see now is AJ Styles is going to become the SmackDown champion. Finally, Dean Ambrose. If Dean Ambrose has a bad match with AJ Styles, I guess I'm just confused about some things. You know, this guy is a good wrestler. He's had a lot of good matches the last... Oh, wait. Never mind. I'm thinking of somebody else. I was thinking of AJ Styles, who's had nothing but good main events with everybody. Dean hasn't had good matches in quite a while. If he has a poor match against AJ Styles, I do not know what to say for the young man. It is time for him to stop messing around with Renee and her goofy hair and her goofy internet-bought tops that she likes to wear and her makeup. You know, he's making her dress like that. That's what's going on with Renee, and that's why Renee is not on the main brand. That and because Vince is allegedly a chauvinist. That being said, I think Renee's the best announcer they have. I hope everyone knows that. And it has nothing to do with her awful hair choices lately. Talking Smack is the best show being put out right now between the SmackDown and Raw brands. Like Talking Smack, CWC, NXT, especially the takeovers, are my shows. So, Dean, don't screw up stuff for yourself and her. Look what happened to Del Rio, okay? He just left. He had his head held high and said bye. Okay, you're having the same issues with this girl. You're screwing her up. Her hair looks bad. It's your fault. So my choice on who's going to win the title match between AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose is that Renee Young's hair is not going to look good for the pre-show.
Yep, once again, I believe AJ Styles will be the champion. I think he's been doing pretty good as of late. I think that he could definitely back down on a little bit of the cheese and get a little bit more intense. And I feel that way a little bit about Dean Ambrose as well. It's really hard because of the way that he's been positioned, the way what he's been doing on the mic, the way his character has been with these interesting backstage vignettes, to really take him seriously as a champion. Doesn't really carry himself like a champion. So in that case, you know, I'm sure he's being prepped as well. The segment producers and telling him how he needs to act or how his character needs to act. That I'm just a full believer of that. If you know and have a full sense of your character, what are they going to do? You know, but of course, as you see with Dolph Ziggler, you know, apparently he doesn't get along with Triple H or whatever the case is, thanks to the interview that Justin Roberts had given the PW Torch and Wade Keller. I think that's something for you all to listen to yourself. Very good exercise in what to and not to do in terms of listening to the staff and management. But needless to say, I believe AJ Styles will go over. It's going to be very strong. They're going to set him up for success. Where does AJ Styles go from there? Time only can tell. I believe that he does probably have a good, you know, it needs a good face to go up against that would have probably more than likely have been someone like, you know, maybe a Dolph Ziggler. Who knows? Who flipping knows? I have a sneaking suspicion they're going to have to bring up someone sooner from NXT, and I wouldn't be surprised if that someone made a debut on tonight's show in the midst of Randy Orton and his concussion, because that match has just been thrown out, which is something Stephen did not have information-wise as he pre-recorded these segments. So, at any rate, I think it's going to be an interesting show. What the WWE and their creative decide to do in the midst of all of this turmoil, we shall see. We shall see. Pretty belts on the SmackDown brand. I will tell you that. They're probably the best looking belts that the Federation has, in my opinion. What do you think? Let us know. Enjoy this pre-show of ours. I hope you enjoyed our opening segments and our tribute to 9/11. And I can tell you where I was during 9/11. Just in thinking back, my band was performing out of town. We were actually on tour doing Armed Forces Entertainment / USO tours during that time. We did so, my band Mink, which you can find on iTunes, by the way. You can check out that we did two, I believe, USO tours beforehand for 9/11. And we did two after. We were in Bahrain, really close to Saudi Arabia, when all that went down. And it was a good week and a half that we were there under the protection of the United States Marines. But during that time, we performed in front of so many great troops. And it was such a heartbreaking moment for me, being away from my family, being in the Middle East, being away from my family, and not being able to call. And all we had was each other. But the armed forces definitely kept us safe. And we actually did have a blast with the people there, the other bands that were the other band that was performing in the hotel we stayed at. And you know, actually a lot of other Middle Eastern folks that obviously not the enemy, you know, but we remember 9/11. And it I'm just hoping that maybe hearing those words from Vince McMahon, and which were very inspiring words, the national anthem sung very well, so beautifully by Lillian Garcia. Hope that brings back some memories. Some of them probably not good for some, but you know, it doesn't hurt to be reminded. So on that note, we will leave you with something far different, far weirder. Let's go into this final deletion, hearty craziness. I'm going to just go ahead and play the whole damn thing. I hope you enjoy it. Probably one of the best things going on in TNA right now. And once again, it is worth a look. And don't forget to tuck your head. Have a great week, everybody. We're going to have another canned show for this week, as I'm out of town celebrating my anniversary. But I hope that you have a great week. I know Steven wishes you all the best as well. Don't forget to tuck your head. Nick Bockwinkel for life. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you next time.
Promo of the week.
Rebecca, that witch Rosemary is in our home.
Oh, Rebecca! Shall we see just how much you love your baby?
I have my son.
Nobody comes into my house and messes with my family. Señor Benjamin, prepare the battlefield for massacre.
I'll fade away and classify myself as obsolete. 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 Obsolete, obsolete, obsolete.
I have invited you, as well as the world here today, because these events must be documented. Myself and my platoon, we are here to do an exercise to get in touch with our primal instincts. Señor Benjamin, prepare the personal zoo for visitation.
Yes, Mr. Harley.
Nero, Señor Benjamin, Rebecca, King Matzo, I have had a very vivid premonition. There's a great battle that is coming sooner than later. And the reason I brought you all here today to my personal zoo is so that we can get in touch with our primal instincts. See, these just aren't any regular animals. I have collected the vessels of animals that contain the most brilliant, amazing, resplendent souls in existence. And my soul can communicate with them. Everyone, to the mere mortal, What you see behind me may appear just to be an everyday, normal African giraffe. That is not the case. Who stands behind me is the very first president of our great country, the United States of America. It is George Washington. Please, give us a moment. Let us catch up. George, I knew you'd come. It's always great to see you, mate. It's always great to sit back and bounce ideas off one another. You think I should take Brother Nero to the boxing kangaroo and have him train? Oh, George, you're such a jokester. Please, return the hype to Queen Rebecca. She needs it. She's not weighing the sensory.
Brother Nero, I have arranged a sparring match for you and Smoking Joe Frazier. It shall be delightful.
Thank you.
Are you ready, Smoking Joe? Are you ready, Brother Nero? Fight! Ah, yes. 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 Yes, Brother Nero. Yes.
Hit him with a high beam!
Easy, Joe. Control your impulses. This fight is over. Yes, Joe. Yes. Yes, Joe. Punish him. Punish him. Senor Benjamin, Brother Nero, as you know, I am the Spot Monkey Whisperer. These vessels do not contain old souls, you know, because they are spot monkeys. But I do have wonderful nicknames for them all. This one is DJ Z. This one is Andrew Everett. Over here is Mandrews. And this is Matt and Nick, the Bucks of Youth. DJ Z, I would like to introduce you to Brother Nero. He is a recovering spot monkey. He used to love to hang upside down, jump off every perch available. Oh, hello, Mandrews.
DJ Z, I suffer with you, my friend.
Let me introduce you to my dear friend, Mr. Genghis Khan. They are? See, we are. Yes, he has just informed me, Brother Nero. The enemy is approaching. They are marching towards our battlefield as we speak. The entire fleet of decay are coming. The battle will happen tonight.
In the pines where the sun never shines, you'll shiver when the cold wind blows. There's a grave in the pine where the sun never shines. There's a grave that's shaded with the pine.
Is that?
Find true love lies in a narrow.
Hey, sugar. You need a ride?
Honey, you should ask Sugar.
Ooh, I'd give you a ride all night, Missy.
Going away, but I won't come back on a lonesome ride.
I hear Cameron's line. Beautiful this time of year. But I can't.
What do you think you're doing, old man?
Estoy cavando la tumba de ustedes, amigo.
What are you gonna do about it, señor?
Decay! I knew you'd come. Decay! I knew you'd come.
His safety is paramount. It's everything. Go now. We'll continue to delete Decay until they are exterminated. Let's go.
Pero tengo que hacerlo por Mr. Harley.
Rosemary. Come into the light.
Hey. In final deletion.
Okay.
Donde está mi hombre? Chris, a miss.
Si.
Si, give me a hug. Come here. Ah!
Ah!
Go get your baby.
Oh, get up.
Janice, you are nothing more than vermin. My soul does not fear you.
Well, let's see how your vessel fights this.
Selfish.
Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.